John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Mom, can you tell me a story?
Sure. Once upon a time, a mom needed a new car.
Was she brave?
She was tired, mostly. But she went to Carvana.com and found a great car at a great price. No secret treasure map required.
Did she have to fight a dragon?
Nope. She bought it 100% online. From her bed, actually.
Was it scary?
Honey, it was as unscary as car buying could be.
Did the car have a sunroof?
It did, actually.
Okay, good story.
Car buying you'll want to tell stories about. Buy your car today on
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.
Get it? The Bird Show.
Wendy finds herself in a pretty awkward situation right now.
Yeah, very awkward situation. And it's normally not like me to ever even consider this because I've been living on my own since I was about 20 years old and like to do things by myself. I pay my own bills. I take care of myself. I pay for my own apartment. And I'm never one to even ask for money. Don't go to my dad. I would rather struggle than ask anybody for a handout or help. Mm-hmm. But I find myself in this predicament of not being able to pay my bills right now. And it's, I'm going to get so emotional over it. But I've had a conversation with my mom about moving back in with her at the age of 24. Embarrassing when my lease ends in July. Mm-hmm. And it's embarrassing only because I can't pay my bills and I'm so far behind. Because, I get a paycheck here, obviously, but it's not enough to cover a lot. So I work another job. I work at a bar on the weekends, trying to make extra money there. And I'm not making it there. But I'm so far behind and catching up that it's been a debate for couple months now, and I want to go through my lease. I can't afford to break my lease. So the conversations come up with my mom on whether to move back or not.
And is she receptive to that?
She's actually the one who suggested it.
Has she seen you struggle so much?
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that the only solution that you've considered, or have you considered like roommates or that kind of thing?
I mean, I've considered roommates and I've considered asking my dad, but it's a pride thing when asking my dad, mm-hmm. because my dad would make me feel so bad about asking for money and being in such a bind,
right,
that he would give me such a hard time.
Even in this like economy, like all the mm-hmm. old school rules of mm-hmm. like once you move out, you are out. You know, I think most of the old school on this. But
yeah.
like mm-hmm. those, I think you got to sort of throw away right now with this economy. It does mm-hmm. seem different.
Not when it comes to my dad. My dad's like, you should always have a backup plan. You should always have a savings account. With my sister, she asks all the time, which, I mean, she was in school. But, I mean, I'm working and I'm obviously not in school. So my dad would come in on that topic. You're not in school, so why do you need a handout? You decided to take a job before finishing school.
Mm.
And it's just a pride thing. He would make me feel so bad about asking for money that this is almost the only solution I have. And I don't think I could do it with roommates either right now because I'm just behind. And it's embarrassing to say that you're so behind on bills that you can't support yourself.
I think there's so many that are going through the same thing now.
Yeah, and I've been working since literally I was like 12 years old because I wanted my own money. I've worked throughout my high school career. I've worked to have a place, but now it's just at the time I don't have anything.
And Wendy busts her ass too. It's not like she's lazy. I mean, she works two shifts here. Like she said, yeah. she's got the bar gig also.
Mm-hmm.
She hangs out here after the show and helps out with mm-hmm. show prep and stuff like that.
And it's frustrating and embarrassing. And then even your mom coming up to you and suggesting to move back. Like,
well,
she knows.
You shouldn't be embarrassed, number one.
Right.
I don't think you should be embarrassed because I think that, yes, it is a recession, but I also think when you're in early to mid and even late 20s, that you're not going, you know, it's just a struggle. It's just a struggle, you know?
Are you only saying that now because this is the recession? Because you've been pretty consistent about that since we've been on the air, that once you leave, you're gone.
Wendy's attitude is one I relate to. I mean, it's the same thing. Like, you know, had cars repossessed and got kicked out of homes when I was 25 years old and refused to ask my parents for money. And I, you know, she's crying over the thought of moving back in with her mom. So I relate to Wendy, you know,
but you never,
because she's waiting. It's the last resort for her, you know. But I have said on the air, though, during a recession, I think all rules are out the door, you know, for sure.
And it's embarrassing. Imagine going on a date with somebody and saying you live at home. Like, nobody wants to be with someone who can't take care of themselves.
That's not true. I think the rules are, like, really different now, man. I think everybody's feeling it.
Not to me. I don't know. I like to do things for myself, and the last thing I would ever ask for is someone to help me out, especially my parents.
Would it help you if you put a time limit on it, like, and really worked out the numbers, saying, okay, if I live back at home with my mom for this finite amount of time, here's how much money I can put towards my credit cards, how much I can get out of debt, how much I can save, however long it takes, but like a real financial plan, a budgeting plan for you. Would that make you feel better if there was a deadline on it? Like, I will move back in for 1 year. Oh, and at the 1 year mark, here's where I'm going to be. And, you know, because I think that it will offer some relief. But then I think also the reality of that situation is that then you will have a little extra money.
Yeah.
Right? It's not going to be going to rent. So is it going to, you know, pay off the credit card bills and get you out of this place where you feel so stressed right now? Or is it going to be to, like, you know, have a fun trip with your girlfriends or whatever because you found that relief? You know what I mean? So I feel like if you set a deadline on it, it may make you feel better about the decision.
I don't even think I would do a year. I'd be too prideful to do a year.
Two days, Mom. Yeah. Like, we're going to be there until Wednesday. That's all.
I would even think 2 months, but I would get another job not to be there for a year and try and get all the stuff paid off. I'm not doing anything fun. I'm not going on trips. I can't. Like, I can't afford to. Mm-hmm.
One suggestion I would make is to don't ask Jeff how to ask for a raise around here. Because we know that will go horribly wrong. So that's not your starting point.
It'll get you 4 weeks off.
Hey, Jackie, good morning. You're on Q100.
Oh, my God, Wendy. I have gone through the same thing. I'm 20 years old, and I just, oh, my gosh, when I had to move back home, it was the most hurtful thing ever. It was like somebody stabbed a knife in my back. Like, it was the most worst thing ever. I had to swallow up my pride and go back home. It had gotten so bad that I had lost my job. I was pregnant and I have a daughter, and I couldn't afford her diapers. Wow. Like, and I had to swallow my pride and go back home. And I'm the exact same way like you. I just never ask anybody for anything. I'm a very independent woman. I've never asked my parents for any money at all. So once I moved out, you know, that was it. I was like, I'm never going to have to go back in. I'm going to figure it out. I'm very organized and very time management, but you know, right now it's like, you can't do anything about it. It's just, it is what it is, you know? So you got to suck up your pride and do what's best for you, because, you know, you don't want to be in a situation where, you know, like me, where it gets so bad where you can't even afford diapers. Like, you don't want it to be that bad. So, you know, I mean, it sucks going back home, but you got to do what you got to do.
It's almost a shame thing, though, because I know I'm going to get so much grief from my dad for even being close to a situation like this. And, like, getting that from your dad, that...
Is that what upsets you the most?
Mm-hmm.
Disappointing him?
Mm-hmm.
I know.
It would be a huge disappointment.
There are some parents that would take that personally. Like, I raised a girl or I raised a boy to be out on their own. And if they come back, then they'll think that they did something wrong rather than sort of, like, embrace it and say, just the time. It's just a time.
Have the phone calls started, the collection phone calls?
Not yet.
That's good.
They probably will, probably a little bit, but I mean,
it's good. You're still in a good place.
I'm not going to go ask anybody for anything, especially him. It just sucks, and it's been sucking for a couple months, so I just don't want to swallow my pride and go back, and I'm not asking for handouts or anything like that.
Here's Ashley. Good morning, Ashley. You're on Q100.
Hi. First of all, I don't know why I said I shouldn't say my name. My name's Christy. I'm not Ashley. Honey, let me tell you something.
It's a weird thing one to be disguised for.
I'm good. So I just want to say that, first of all, you need to take that pride that you have, which is a sin, first of all, and put it in the pits of hell where it belongs, and you let your mother, who loves you more than anything in this world, help you. And it's not a handout. She is taking care of her child.
I don't think that any parent could assess your situation and say that you're back in the house because you haven't tried. Like, I think in the future, if Hayden or Hollis came back to me and wanted to be back in the house, I seriously, as a parent, I'd have to say, okay, is this a chance for them to learn and have to, like, make it on their own? Have they not tried the best that they can? And or not. And in your case, I'd have to say you've done everything you can.
I know my mom doesn't mind and she wants to help. It's just she's already taken care of me. I mean, I've been out of the house for 4 years taking care of myself. Mm-hmm. So her having to come back and retake care of me, I know she wants to do it. I just feel bad that she has to do it.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're in a sensitive place right now, but can I be tough love, Jen?
Absolutely.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to do that if
no. If
you're in a too sensitive of a place.
No, you're good.
All right, tough love, Jen, is going to bring up a conversation we had over the summer when you and I were out.
I'm so glad I'm in between them because if Wendy doesn't react well, I get hit.
No, my tough love question for you is, have you asked for a review with any of your bosses here, including Bert? Have you asked for a review?
No, not directly. No, not for a review, just how I can improve.
Because remember,
and
we talked
review,
about that.
By review, she means raise.
No, yeah, and by, yeah, exactly. But I think this is something that you need to think about and consider because nobody is just handing out money these days,
mm-hmm.
and nobody's going to give you money if you don't ask for it.
So I think that's recession or non-recession. Mm-hmm. I think that's just that
you are loyal. Great employee, you are reliable, you do above and beyond what you are asked to do in your job responsibilities. And I think if you set that out, and I think if you list that out and you ask for what you deserve, you will be surprised what comes in return. And that's not just for Wendy, that's for anybody mm-hmm. who does a good job and goes above and beyond their call of duty in their position. And I think that men are significantly better negotiators than women are. I think we feel like some sort of like we don't deserve it as much for some sort of strange reason. I don't know if it's like traditional roles in the household, like the men are the providers or whatever, so they're not afraid to ask for money. But guess what? Like, you need to learn how to ask for money.
Mm-hmm. When is the last time that you asked for a raise?
I haven't, and I don't.
In how many years?
I've never asked for a raise. I mean, obviously, I was promised one a long time ago, but I just feel like that's part of your job. I mean, you work for...
What's part of your job?
I mean, it's just...
They would give it to you?
But this is a female mentality.
I mean, mm-hmm.
It is.
You just work for your money, and going above and beyond, that's just what you do in a job. That's just how you work, and that's just my work ethic.
And so you should be rewarded for that voluntarily. You think the company should reward that without asking?
Well, maybe over time, but I guess so. I don't know. I've never been in a job where I need to ask for a raise.
You've never been in any other job but this one. What the hell is that?
I know you sound surprised, but I think this is a good lesson for parents with their daughters because we are not taught to ask.
No, we're not taught to ask.
I had the same thought she had when I was in my 20s.
Yes, and really? We're so uncomfortable to ask.
Yeah, and it's like, well, they're going to give me a raise if I'm a good employee. Mm-mm. It's not my job to go and push them into it.
But I'm
and
you
most
said
times,
some...
most times women learn that lesson when they leave their job and go to another one.
Right.
They go to another one and the offer slid across the table from you at your next job. It will blow your mind because you started out as an intern here. And guess what? They're still treating you that way because you haven't asked to be treated any differently.
Staying at the same place for a long time sometimes is not, you know, you get punished instead mm-hmm. of rewarded.
Especially when you start the way you did, like an entry-level position. Jen raises a really great point that, some cases they just, you have to force them to see you in a different way.
Yep.
Like, you're on a damn good show.
You're not being criticized.
Damn good, successful show.
It's just me being tough love, Jen, because mm-hmm. I think it's a lesson for a lot of women your age.
Yes. You're not being criticized. It is enlightening because there is a reason why the majority of the list we just did were girls in this situation.
Now, this is the same dad that you guys had a disconnect there for a while also, right?
For a little while, yeah, probably about a year and a half.
Okay.
I went without talking to my dad. And then we reconnected on my birthday last year, just a great relationship. But still, like, he's like, I'm proud of you, you're succeeding. And then to come back and say, well, Dad, I'm not.
That may be your perception of how his reaction's going to be rather than his real reaction. Have you already talked to him about it?
I mean, this is an ongoing conversation.
Ongoing.
I don't think I've ever not talked to my dad where he's like, are you doing okay? You got your bills paid, right? You've got your savings in, right? That's every conversation.
Hmm. But I don't mean to interrupt the call. I just want to say that that's your perception of yourself, too, because I think you're succeeding. Just because you have a pitfall doesn't mean you're not succeeding. I mean,
and the rules are different, man. The rules are different right now.
Yeah, don't think you're a failure. I know it's easy to think that, but you're not a failure just because you're broke.
Hey, Donna, good morning. You're on The Voice Disguiser.
Hi. I just want to have a little heart-to-heart with you, Wendy. I'm a fighter, and I think by nature you're probably a fighter as well. And I've been a single mom for a very long time, and I'm in my 30s. Sometimes we have to learn to lower our pride and ask for help. And I've never wanted to be one of those that ask for help. But I can say in 2009, me and my children probably would have been on the street had it not been me lowering my pride and going to my mom and asking for help. Because if I don't get the help, I'm going to sink even farther. And when you sink even farther, it's just so much harder to climb out of that hole.
And sometimes by having to be forced into asking for help, it makes you a better giver in the future because you have more sympathy for what it takes mm-hmm. for somebody to ask you.
Here's just another sign. I mean, we're not talking about you being jobless or anything, but I just read this morning.
This doesn't make you feel good. This is an unemployment statistic, but don't worry, you're cool.
It's just a really good indicator of how we're in a recession here and the rules are just different. Americans aged 20 to 24 who were neither in school nor working jumped to 28% last year. 28% from 17% in 2007. So the rules are just different now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're competing with people who have, for those who are competing for jobs, you're competing with people who have master's, PhDs, people who are in their 30s, 40s, and 50s for the same job. So yeah, that's why the rules are thrown out. Because it is already a struggle for people in their 20s. And I think there's a part of me that thinks it should be, because I do think that you kind of sharpen your teeth in your 20s because you go through some rough patches. But I just don't want you to think less of yourself because of this, because I think this is part of life,
And don't dismiss Jen's advice also. If you think you're worth more money, then you've got some conversations to have.
Not if you think, because you don't think that. You are worth more money.
Agreed.
So ask for it.
Yeah, that's tough.
Ask for more money.
That is tough.
It is tough.
Why? What do you think is going to happen? You're going to go in there and say, can I have a raise? And they're going to go, you're fired!
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. The worst they can say is, no, we have to keep you around to what you're making right now. So where are you? How are you in a different place next week than you are this week?
I mean, the thought has crossed my mind. Like, they can just, let you go. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't not cross my mind.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
You're on The Burt Show.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Listen. It's The Burt Show.
So I wish Jeff was here today. He's out in L.A., actually, and he's pitching those TV shows in L.A. But he obviously is the tech geek, the technology geek on the show.
But he's not an Apple dude.
But he's not an Apple dude.
No.
But yeah, Melissa Carter is.
He's a PC dude.
Yeah, he's the PC dude.
So I'm a PC guy also, and I'm really not a technology guy. I just don't have a lot of time for it. And the learning curve on anything that comes out like that freaks me out because I just don't feel like I've got the time to learn how to use stuff like this. Mm-hmm. So I'm still at the basics. But I know the iPad came out yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I read about it a whole bunch yesterday. And tell me what the big deal is.
Well, I just think that anytime Apple introduces something, when Steve Jobs is at the helm, that it tends to change the course of where technology goes. Because when you think about it, the iPhone came out, it was the first touchscreen phone, and now you have several, smartphones that have come out in that direction. And so with the iPad, which I do think, iPad, because I thought it'd be the iTablet or something. But basically, it's just...
iTab would have been
really
cool.
Great name.
Yeah, I think that what they're trying to do is merge a laptop with a smartphone,
isn't a phone.
No, but what I'm saying is that, like a laptop, you have the screen and then you have the keyboard, and he's just trying to get rid of the keyboard and the wire. So it's basically just a big tablet that's a touchscreen that you can do everything on is what the future is leading to.
So you can watch movies on this thing. You can surf the internet on it. You can download books on it also.
You can email.
It's not like the Apple version of the Kindle.
It's got more function than that.
More function than the Kindle, for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the Kindle just has books.
Yeah, but I mean, I I'm a big Apple head, and all I've ever had is Apple. I've never owned a PC in my life. And so, but one of those things, you know, and Jeff and I were talking about it yesterday, and I said, but it's one of those things that let it come out, let people play with it, find the kinks, find what's missing. Apple will come up with another generation of it, and it'll improve, because I've read about how people are, frustrated by there's no camera on it. You know, they can't take pictures with it. They can't do some of the things that they can do, you know, like with their smartphone or even with their laptop. So
here are, I printed this off this morning. This will make more sense to you than it does me. These are the 8 things that suck about the iPad.
The name.
Yeah, that's what we're going to focus on here in a second. But no multitasking. It's a backbreaker. This is supposed to be a replacement for netbooks, but how can it possibly not have multitasking? Like you said, there's no cameras on it. The touch keyboard, people are complaining about. So much for Apple revolutionizing tablet inputs. This is the same big, ugly touchscreen keyboard we've seen on other tablets. And unless you're lying on the couch with your knees popping up, it's awkward to use.
Well, and I think people are going to always complain about something new, because it's not a laptop. It doesn't fold up. It doesn't fit in your, you know, like, I don't think it was meant to sit in your lap necessarily. You know what I mean? Like, I just think it's just trying to introduce new technology where, you know, eventually you get rid of, you get rid of the wires and the keyboard and everything. And it's just one, you know, it's just one thing that you have that can do everything.
And
but obviously it can't do everything yet.
There's no flash on it either. So some of the websites that you go to are really going to feel incomplete because it doesn't support flash.
Which I think is the biggest setback on that.
I wonder why they didn't think of that.
I'm sure they thought of it, but they made a decision to not.
And I think for web programmers, they're getting further away from Flash because everything has to be mobile friendly now. Like, so, because my brother does that in New York, and so he was telling me he just went to, like, some big conference about how, like, everybody in that programming world now is programming for mobile devices. Like, you're not programming, not programming for computers anymore.
Yeah, we just put together.
Like, all that whole Flash, like, all that stuff is kind of antiquated at this point. Like, not antiquated, but it's kind of, the programmers are getting further away from that because of mobile devices and things like this. And
it's really mobile devices are the ones that are behind, because it doesn't handle Flash, you know, because I do think that eventually, you know, the mobile devices will get sleek enough to handle it. But, you know,
we just designed a new Burt's Big Adventure website, and one of the top things of mind was people downloading stuff and getting information off of their mobile phones. And we designed it for that. So it couldn't support Flash also.
Right.
But it's the name that seems to really be rubbing people the wrong way, especially women. And Apple should be smarter than this.
They should be smarter than this. And I'm sure somebody brought it up. They're smart people. But pad to a woman means something very different. It doesn't mean notebook. To us.
It's not something fun to think about.
Yeah. Because I think
it's gross.
And I really think the iPod, iPad, I'm sure that they just thought it would just be, you know, the seamless transition. But yeah, I think iTab would have been
much better.
Much better name.
Much better idea.
Here's Steve Jobs yesterday telling you how great the iPad is.
What this device does is extraordinary. You can browse the web with it. It is the best browsing experience you've ever had. It's phenomenal to see a whole web page right in front of you, and you can manipulate with your fingers.
So there he is on stage for a while last night, and he's telling everybody how great this thing is. Now, this is pretty interesting. Mad TV, which isn't even a TV show anymore, predicted, they were doing a parody, and they called it the iPad, okay? And it was a funny skit back then, and it was pretty much playing off the name of iPad, which is exactly your concern about this whole thing.
The
that women,
pad, right.
That
right.
women hear the word pad, and it has a completely different meaning, right?
Totally.
Lindsay, great job in the sales meeting. Hey, do you have a pad I can borrow?
Sure, here you go.
No, you know, the other kind of pad.
I can't believe you still use maxi pads.
I know, I have a narrow cervix, and so it's painful for me to install.
No. I meant, why use a maxi pad when there's the new iPad from Apple?
iPad? With the new iPad, I just hook up my Apple to my peach, and I can download protection.
There's a cord going up her skirt.
Leading up.
That. And with wireless Bluetooth technology, iPad sets you up for fast uploading without all that water bloating.
Oh, wow, that's great. But what if my computer has a virus?
Don't worry. Each iPad comes pre-installed with vaginal firewall protection.
So it's the same thing that you guys were concerned about?
Because
you know somebody in that meeting Because I'm assuming there are 15 people around a table, and they're all trying to figure out exactly what they're going to call this thing. And it's a bunch of dudes mostly, but there's one or two women in the room too, maybe half. And they express their concerns, but the guys are like, oh, you're overthinking that.
Now, we've been in meetings with men and women in the meeting, and once a guy has his mind set, you know,
then that's
somebody
it.
In the room who may not be in the room has his mind set on something, it doesn't matter what you say, he's going to, no, this is what it's going to be called.
Well, so. We talked about it when we were creating the new Entertainment Buzz thing, and the guys were coming up with all kinds of stuff, and so the first thing that came back was the big voice guy, if it's rumor, leaked or blah blah blah, then you'll hear it in Gen Hub. And I said, leaked is really not the word we want to start with.
Right.
On Q100.
Like, again, a whole different meaning.
So yeah. We changed it.
So we did. So we changed. Bert was like, I would have never even thought of that. I'm like, yeah, we can't lead with if it's leaked.
Yeah.
No.
And when it comes to technology, most women like are going to look toward the Apple at least, if not buy it. And so, yeah, that was kind of dumb.
Listen to the women in the office.
That's
dude.
Right.
This is The Bert Show.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino.
This is The Bert Show.
I want to know, are you allowed to be a 35-year-old bridezilla? Because I know one right now.
Okay.
And let me just give you some examples of the bridezilla-ness. And for whatever reason, to me, my perception is that this would be much more tolerable if she were a bride at 25 pulling these moves than at 35 pulling these moves, you know? But this is her first wedding, and I get it. You're real excited, you know.
It has to be the perfect day, man. This is
be,
it.
Yeah,
thought about this my whole life. The days after it don't matter.
Right.
This is the important day.
And I don't know. I just think it's a little outrageous to have 10 bridesmaids and 10 groomsmen when you're 35. I don't know why that makes a difference to me.
You're going to have to do dude speak on this because I don't, why
I
is that
the same way.
Out of
I don't know why.
Line.
It seems like when you're younger and you do like a big to-do wedding, that makes more sense. But as you get older, to me, I don't know, putting all your 35-year-old friends in bridesmaids' dresses that all match and have to be designer and ordered and cut to fit and dyed shoes to match and all that kind of stuff just seems more ridiculous.
Katie and I have had this discussion because because when we've talked about our own inability to get married, but if we had the ability to get married, we've had that discussion. Both of us in our 30s, and I say, I think that you spend all your money on the reception, have a great party, and then just maybe, you know, the two of us just do something private with witnesses. And then she completely disagrees because she felt like, well, if it's your first wedding, you should be able to get away with anything you want at any age. But if it's a subsequent wedding, then all bets are off.
So are we talking about two different things here? If you're getting married for the first time at 35 or 37, are you also saying it shouldn't be the same? Like dressing all your bridesmaids up just feels...
It feels juvenile to me.
Okay. Well, I had never heard that before.
And I don't know why. And it's probably because I've been through a wedding before. And if I ever got married again, it would be a much more small, like, you know, intimate affair.
But what if this was your first?
See, I don't know if I even have the I could even have the perspective on it because I already did that. You know what I mean? But I feel like, I don't know, something about it. As you get older, I think that subsequently your wedding should get more...
See, I think it's different if it's
manageable. Or,
It's different if it's your second or third wedding, but I think your first wedding, you should go all out.
No matter how old.
No matter how old you are, because I think it's all about the celebration, and you want all your friends a part of it, especially if it's your first one.
Now, Wendy's saying that as 24 years old.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not in my 30s yet.
I guess I just feel like by the time that your friends are 35 or 37 or whatever it is that they are, they've already been in 14 weddings, and they're probably on their second kid, and they don't want to be in a designer dyed, you know, pale pink gown.
The irony is, though, in your mid-30s, you can afford it.
Right.
And when you're 24, you can't.
That's true. Right. So anyway, I know a bridezilla right now who is doing all kinds of stuff like that. The other thing is that she has invited one sister-in-law to be in the wedding party, but not the other.
Mm-hmm.
because she doesn't like the other one.
Mm-mm. Oh, you can't do that.
That's a quick way to divide the family right there.
Yeah, yeah. One in the wedding and one not in the wedding. Not cool.
Not cool.
You can't do that.
Mm-mm. No.
Because she is closer friends with the one sister of the groom and not the other one, but has like picked one to be in the wedding party and the other one not to be. And then the other thing is that some friends are throwing or were trying to throw like a nice shower for her. And when you're a bride and you are getting showers thrown for you and parties thrown for you, the only thing you're supposed to do is say thank you and provide the list of names and addresses for the hosts of the party.
Because the host handles everything.
The host handles everything. Mm-hmm. You're just supposed to be quiet and gracious, and whatever it is that they want to do for you, that's what you do. That's the etiquette, right? Oh, no. This bridezilla is getting all involved on what kind of a shower it's going to be, who's invited, whether it's all women or whether it's going to be couples invited to the whole thing. And
but
like
she
getting,
has waited till 35, Jen. It is going to be perfect.
Right. And like getting all up in the mix and involved in all of that kind of stuff. I'm like, really, this is somebody like doing something nice for you. You should sit back, shut up, and be nice, you know, and like be gracious about it. But she's like all up in arms about it. But you're right. It's because she's waited this long.
And she's,
you know?
Yeah. And the whole, you know more of what you want at 35 than you do at 24 or 25. So
you've had longer to obsess about it, maybe. Yeah.
You're more set in your ways and like, this is what I want. There's no flexibility about it.
Yeah. To me, it just seems a little ridiculous as you get older. But I had this debate with some of my friends, and some of my friends feel the way that Wendy does. Like, if it's your first wedding, go all out. Doesn't matter how old you are. But to me, as you get older, the wedding needs to get a little bit more manageable.
If I was straight and getting married at 39, I'm not having the same wedding that I would have had at 23.
Because much more subdued version of the whole
thing. It almost looks silly.
It almost looks silly to me.
I never even thought about it in that way.
39-year-old walking out there in her big old white dress. And I would feel
silly.
See,
the white dress, I'm fine with. The huge wedding party.
I'm talking about the big prom-like. I don't know.
So when does the dream die? Is it 28? Is it 27? Well, is it 30 for you?
It's not the dream dying. It's just the ceremony and the way you celebrate. Like, you know, Wendy's keyword celebration. The celebration needs to change to fit your age.
Well, I'm heading to agree.
It's like showing your midsection. There's a certain age you just can't
you
do.
You can't have a muffin top wedding.
It's the Burt Show.
All right, for months now, we dealt with the students' vent line.
Yeah, the students could call up and complain about their parents, their homework, their teachers, whatever it was about the school year. But then we decided we wanted to do this for the teachers.
And this thing filled up quicker than it did with the students. Teachers were ready to go off. Because like you said, I think there's more to go off on.
Yeah, the students and the parents and the administration, everything they've got to deal with.
Salaries they got to deal with, promotions, stuff like that. So 404-255-3535 is the teacher vent line. And we do run it through the voice disguiser, so the voices that you hear now aren't recognizable.
I want to vent and tell those stupid little kids to just shut the f*** up and learn what they need to learn. It's not that difficult. If I tell you to flip a fraction and multiply it, just do it. It's not that stupid. I get paid as it is. Now, on top of that, I have to deal with little kids who can't wipe themselves, who don't know how to multiply, which is something you should have learned in the third grade, for heaven's sake, and you can't even add half the time. It's getting on my effing nerves.
I said, do it with us.
Yes.
Do it with us.
Yes. Get it out.
And get it out.
That's right.
And get it out.
Angry.
If I'm a parent listening, that is one of your teachers, your kids' teachers.
See,
that woman is going into class today. She is teaching with that anger.
But if you're the child who should have learned how to divide and multiply in the third grade and they're not doing it 2 or 3 years later,
you should have effing got that done already.
Yes, that's exactly right.
I am sick of parents expecting us to retest students when they fail because they didn't study at home, or if they don't read the material that they need to for the testing, and they're like, oh, I'm sorry, can we just retest my child? That is my biggest problem. Thank you.
She does have that very teacher thing at the very end, but I'm going to be polite about it.
Right. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for allowing me to yell about that.
I don't like the fact how after a long day of being with the kids, who, yes, I do love, and I do love working with them, if something ever happens, the parents wonder, well, I wonder why that happened. Well, maybe if you actually taught your child right on what to do and what not to do, maybe then we wouldn't have to worry about it in the classroom. From hitting to trying to hurt somebody, oh, I wonder why they hurt somebody today. Oh, well, maybe you should check yourself before you leave your house.
For you, Ricky.
I don't understand why parents not teach their kids that the kids are not doing their homework at home. Parents need to get it together. That's why this country will never succeed in education, because the parents are not taking care of their kids at home. They send their kids to school as a babysitting service. Mm-hmm. These parents in this city of area of Atlanta are just pathetic. Nothing but homegrown and redneck hicks who live off the government. And the kids will never succeed. This is why teaching is a very bad profession. The parents don't care for their kids, and the kids get left behind.
It's more like a presidential speech.
I know.
His state of the union.
Like a leprechaun.
Or the Wizard of Oz munchkin.
But I think it's interesting that three of the four calls that have come in already have been complaining about the parents, and not taking responsibility for the kids.
Well, I'm mad because Sonny Perdue keeps furloughing us. I don't make near the money that man makes. Why don't you take a pay cut? Why don't you take 6 days worth of furlough and then come and talk to me? When was the last time you put your butt in a classroom? We don't get paid near enough to do the jobs that we do.
Oh, my God. If the boys could actually find a belt, if parents could maybe discover what a belt is and realize that your little thick, skinny son is not a size 48 waist, I have seen enough underwear to last the rest of my life. I never in a million years imagined that I would ever see this much underwear. It's an
end of message.
I am a lucky. I love my students and don't have issue with them 99% of the time. But my coworkers drive me up the wall. And the lack of respect amongst coworkers and things like that just is ridiculous. It wouldn't be acceptable in any other workplace. And that is what makes me most frustrated about my job. And I'm sure there's other teachers that feel the same way. Thanks, Burt Show.
Hey, The Burt Show.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You're on The Burt Show.
All right, I got the story a little twisted here with Olivia. I thought she emailed us, and producer Tracy came in here before we're getting Olivia on. She said, tread lightly here. She doesn't really want to go on. Her friend emailed us about Olivia, and producer Tracy has sort of strong-armed her or asked her to come on. So she didn't do this voluntarily.
Okay.
So,
you have to be respectful.
Right. Good morning, Olivia. You're on The Voice Disguiser. Hi.
Hi, good morning.
How are you today?
I'm good.
All right, you've got to give us some history here, because this could be great. All right, so you are planning on moving in with two different dudes, two different locations, and you're hoping they don't find out about it.
Yes, that is what I'm doing this weekend.
Wow.
All right, history on these guys. You got to bring us up to speed.
Okay, so one of them lives in Midtown, and I've been dating him for about 5 months. Okay. I like him. He's pretty well-to-do. He's got a really beautiful, fully furnished condo. It's close to where I work. We go out a lot together. We have a good time. And then the other one lives in Kennesaw, and I've been dating him for 4 months, casually. I actually like him more, but he's broke. He's just pretty flat. He's got like a totally empty apartment, so all my furniture is going to go there. And it's pretty far from where I work. But he's really sweet. He plays guitar. We stay home a lot together. And, you know, I like them both.
It's like Prince and the Pauper.
What?
I said it's like Prince and the Pauper. You have one guy who's rich, who you kind of like, but you like him better because he's got all the money. And the other guy who's, you know, the sweet guitar playing, you know, creative time.
Well, and
who's
don't,
broke.
Don't underestimate the commute. I mean, Midtown's closer to her work.
So there are some benefits
that
there.
That is a really big deal in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Right?
That's actually a quality you look for a guy now.
Yes.
Especially when it's the better apartment.
Yes, exactly.
So how do you think you're going to pull this off, though? I mean, obviously, especially when you move in with somebody, I'm going to state the obvious, that you're elevating the relationship. So how do you think you're going to be able to just hang out with one guy one day and the other guy the other day?
Well, my mom is going through a divorce right now. Mm-hmm. So I've told both guys that, you know, they both knew that my lease was up at the end of January. And, you know, I said, yeah, they both asked me to move in with them. And so I said, yes, but my mother is going to need a lot of moral support right now, so I'll probably only be there half the time while I'm helping her with the divorce.
Brilliant.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Now, if this was a dude, you'd be coming down on her so hard. All of y'all would. Hypocrites.
Well, we talked yesterday. Well, Jen's the only one that called her brilliant, by the way.
I'm just impressed that she's been able to think through all the angles of this plan.
Because we talked, well, we talked yesterday about guys who've, like, lived double lives and that kind of thing, so.
Well, we talked to somebody yesterday whose mother-in-law faked a relationship for 25 years. He lied to her. Mm-hmm. She was the one lying.
No, he lied to her.
He did?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we talked yesterday about the guys doing it. So this is unique because I have rarely heard of a woman living with two guys and trying to, you know,
play
them both.
This. You can't pull this off.
Do these guys both think that you're exclusive with them?
Well, we haven't, like, they've never said, like, are you seeing other people? They've never asked me flat out.
You're moving in with a guy. It's assumed.
Do they call you girlfriend? Like, do they use the word girlfriend?
Jen, she's moving in with a guy. When you move in, it's assumed that it's an exclusive relationship.
They call me their girlfriend.
What?
They both call me their girlfriend.
Okay.
They both think that you are only seeing them. You're moving in with a guy.
You're cheating on both of them with the other.
Yes. I mean, call it what it is, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have two boyfriends.
Okay.
So I just don't know it.
So which day are you moving into the guy in Kennesaw's house, and which day are you moving into the guy in Midtown's house?
So Kennesaw guy is coming to help me move on Saturday. His apartment is totally empty, so all of my furniture is going to his place.
Okay.
And Midtown guy thinks that I sold all my stuff on Craigslist this week. And so, you know, I told him I'm going to pack up the rest of it on Saturday. I don't need your help. But Kennesaw guy is going to be at my place helping me on Saturday. And then, you know, I'll move over there. Then Sunday morning, I'll go back to my place, and Midtown guy is going to come over and help me clean it so that I can get my security deposit back.
You're going to be exhausted.
Wow.
You're going to be exhausted. So basically,
if I, you know, if I can pull off this weekend, I think I can pull off the living arrangement.
Where are your clothes going?
Keep them. What?
Where are your clothes going?
Oh, I'm dividing them half and half, but I think that probably more of my work clothes will go to Midtown guy's house since it's closer to my office.
There's no way you're going to be able to pull this off.
So you got your mom excuse for the moment, but if someone's living with me and they don't spend the night with me every night, I think I'd get suspicious. Like, how are you going to pull this off once the mom issue's done, if you make it that long?
I haven't thought that far ahead. I'm just going to keep this up as long as I'm enjoying it.
Well, you're going to end up liking one more than the other.
She already does.
Well, and yeah, I already kind of like Kennesaw guy more.
So why not just go with Kennesaw guy?
Right.
Because he's broke.
Too much all-in commitment for me at this point.
Too much what?
All-in commitment. She's not ready.
But you're
moving in. Don't want to be. She don't want to be with the broke. Exclusively.
It's going to be more difficult of a challenge if you decide you like the Midtown guy better, because then all of a sudden you're going to have all this furniture. He's going to be like, when'd you buy all this?
There's something comical about it, but obviously so wrong. Hey, Jennifer, good morning. You're on
Q100.
Hi.
I want to say I love it, but this makes me so mad. This woman, she has two guys to pick from, and there's people out there that can't even get one guy, and she's going to play both of them. I hope both of them find out about each other, and she ends up lonely with no one.
Well, and this would totally change if they both knew about each other.
Right.
I mean, but I don't know any guy that would go for that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But if they both knew what the situation was, then it's...
No problem.
Yeah,
it's your
fair game, right. Sure. But the fact that they don't have a clue about each other, they don't even know that you're dating another guy, going to dinner with another guy, changes everything. You're being so deceptive on two different levels.
Yeah, you're cheating on both of them.
But you know that. I'm not schooling you. Here's Cassie. Good morning. You're on Q100. Hi.
Hi. I just want to say that Bert said something a little bit ago that I agree with. This girl is a scumbucket, deceptive liar. All the times that the guys are on, we sit there and say, oh, you know, the girls gang up and say, this guy is trashy. This girl is trashy. Why are not the girls standing up for, you know,
Come on, be a lady.
I just said agreed, that she was cheating on both of them.
You would be yelling at, if Olivia was Eddie, you would be yelling at this guy right
now. I never supported what she's doing. I'm just listening to her be arrogant about it. She's cheating on both of them.
You're a little tickled that she's actually pulling it over on two dudes.
I'm not tickled by that because I think that...
I don't think she's going to pull it over.
I don't think so either.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting that she's thought through the whole plan, but I don't think she's going to pull it off.
Definitely not.
It would be comical.
I mean, and then on the same token, I mean, she's, you know, it's also not just that she's cheating on both of them, but she's choosing a guy. The only reason she's cheating on the creative musician type is because he's not rich enough. Like, she's going for rich dude. You know, so, I mean, there were some people that would assume that you're whoring yourself out because he's got a place near your work and he's, you know, rich and you're moving in with him just for those reasons. Because you even admitted you don't like him as much as the other guy.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Greg, here you have Olivia. She's planning on moving in with two different dudes in two different places this weekend.
Well, first off, she's going to want bitterball tickets, apparently. But really, what's she going to do on Valentine's Day?
Yeah, how are you going to manage that?
That's a good one.
How are you going to manage that?
With my mother going through the divorce.
Oh, please.
What, am I going to leave her alone on Valentine's Day?
She's going to hate me the most. She got it all worked out.
Does your mom know you're doing this?
No, my mom does not know I'm doing this.
Okay, I was going to say, because if mom's is in on it.
Mm-mm, then it's triply wrong right there. Totally.
For sure.
All right, I think Monday when we talk to you, you're going to say that you didn't pull it off. One of these guys is going to find out about it, but we got to check back with you on Monday morning.
Okay. I mean, I just, you know, I want to repeat that I did not ask to come on the air.
Right.
Right. Did my arm, and so
you're right.
You know, I don't really want to sit here and be ridiculed.
You're right.
Talked about in the third person. We'll talk about you
on Monday.
Come on the show.
You're right. We asked you to come on. And actually, you
Maybe
know what? As a present for coming on, I'm actually going to put you on with a virtual listener that agrees with what you're doing. Go ahead, Angela. You're on Q100.
I have to completely agree with Olivia. More power to her.
Come on,
more power to her. You know what? Guys do it all the time.
Oh,
but you know what? I have to say, I've been in this situation before. I've never moved in with two different guys, so that's a little pushing it for me. But as for dating two different guys and having fun with it, why not?
That's not dating two different guys. No big deal. But if you were saying I commit to you to the point I'm moving in with you.
What do you mean dating two different guys isn't a big deal?
If you're not committed.
So long as they know each other.
Dating's a verb. That's what we've been talking about.
As long as they know about each other.
Yes.
But I mean,
if you say I'm not exclusive to one person.
Even if you're committed to them. I mean,
are you serious?
Then that's what she wants to do. More power to her.
So you feel like guys have been doing this, so this is even.
Totally. If she has nothing else to lose, why not?
Right. Well, yeah, that's the solution. Lower your standards. Perfect. Right. That's what women should do. Right.
Olivia, we will talk to you on Monday, and we will not judge. And when you're on the radio.
No, I was not. I was being facetious. I was being sarcastic. You don't have to thank me for that comment.
We'll talk to you on Monday, Olivia.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Listen, it's the Bert Show.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.